stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you for joining us this evening. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular business meeting of October 15, 2018, and the work study meeting of October 22, 2018? Mrs. DeLorva, seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve the treasurer and business office financial reports, an extracurricular fund report for September 2018, October 2018, and the internal claims audit report for September 2018? Mr. Montalto, seconded by Ms. O'Brien. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. Mrs. Rossi, superintendent's report.
Yes, good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. We're going to begin by having some student recognition. We will be recognizing tonight our AP scholars. So what we'd like to do is call them up, and I'd like to have the high school administration and Mr. Murphy also join us up here when we call your name. We'll be taking some nice pictures, right, Mr. Palumbo? Okay, perfect. So we, every year, have a wonderful opportunity to recognize our advanced placement scholars. There are three designations that we recognize through the College Board and nationally, and I will tell you every year Babylon has a wonderful number of students who receive this wonderful recognition. So first, we'd like to pull out those students who are recognized as AP scholars. If I can have our principal up here, Mr. Serone, Mr. Murphy, and Ms. Vangoni here. Okay, so first, recognizing our AP scholars. These are students who have received scores of 3 or higher on 3 or more AP exams. So please give a big round of applause to Erin Conlin. Lauren Bravo. Yeah. Ryan Barone. Sydney Alfacher is not here with us tonight, but Sydney is actually an AP Scholar with distinction. Congratulations. See that there. Also an AP Scholar with distinction, Joe Conti. Agnes Golden, AP Scholar with distinction. Catherine Hernandez, AP Scholar with distinction. Pavani Kumar, AP Scholar with distinction. Dylan Kinney, AP Scholar with distinction. Lolita Tavera, AP Scholar with distinction. Also, Allison Wexler. Congratulations. Kate is here.
Kate is here.
Madeline higher on 3 more AP exams. AP Scholar with Honor means they achieved a 3.25 average on four or more of those exams. AP Scholar with Distinction means they had an average score of a 3.5 on all AP exams taken, which includes 5 or more AP exams. So congratulations. We'd like to recognize our student delegates who are here tonight to give their monthly report. Welcome.
For the Fine Arts Department, art students in Studio 1 through Studio 5 took a walking trip last week to the Conklin House, Old Town Hall, and the Babylon Village Historical Society. The students researched people, places, and events that have happened in Babylon's history. Each student will write about their historical event and then create a piece of artwork on it. Their writings and artworks will be compiled into a book later this year.
Day of the Dead was alive in Times Square classrooms as Ms. Jane and Ms. Shaw created displays known as Apprentice, similar to those created in Mexican homes to celebrate the lives of the dearly departed on Dia de los Muertos. The displays typically feature a photo or multiple photos of the muertos, along with candles, a papel picado, which is a cut outside of the decoration, sent by Zuchito, and favorites of the departed like food and drink. Students also created sugar skulls known as Calaveras de Azucar for the displays. They connected their learning to the popular Disney film Coco and viewed authentic newsreel and other video in Spanish as well.
In English as a New Language News, Mr. Cropsey brought a group of E&L students on a trip to the 5th Annual Dreamers Conference, empowering dreamers to go beyond the limits at Suffolk County Community College. Keynote speaker, Mr. Cesar Vargas Esquire, a nationally recognized leader at the forefront of the fight for immigration reform, presented his journey to the crowd. Mr. Vargas was the national Latino outreach strategist for U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign. He is recognized as one of the Huffington Post's prominent Latinos in American politics. Cesar was brought to New York from Mexico at age 5 when his father passed away. He excelled academically and was an honor student in both college and law school. As an undocumented law graduate from the City University of New York School of Law, he led the fight for equal opportunity and access to the practice of law. It was a great day for all of the students. They were able to learn about all of the resources that they can access upon leaving high school. they had the opportunity to attend workshops pertaining to rights of immigrant students, college and career readiness, stress management, and becoming familiar with the college application process. All five of the students decided to become members of the LISA, Long Island Immigrant Student Advocates, who will provide community service and networking opportunities, as well as scholarship opportunities. The students returned to the school with hope and excited about these opportunities.
Thank you very much.
Okay, on to the superintendent's report for the month of November. On Tuesday, Election Day, November 6th, we did host a wonderful conference day for our professional staff. We had activities that included mindfulness training as an outcome from the district's curriculum committee, which is chaired by Trustee Dellerba as well as Mr. D'Amico. The program delivered by Corinne Winter from missionb.org served as a great introduction and will now be a springboard to future conversations that our staff will have regarding mindfulness and what role it can play in our current district in daily classroom practices. Also, last Wednesday evening, we hosted a terrific dinner meeting with our K-6 PTA board, our PTSA board, and our new SEPTA board, along with the Board of Education trustees. It was really, I think, a very collegial evening. We talked about district goals. We had the chance to meet the newest elected members of each respective board, and I cannot continue to say what wonderful parent leadership we have in the district that helps the board also support its initiatives. I think it was just a really nice evening for everybody involved. And that was the first annual meeting we've had like that, which came from our board retreat this summer. And I want to thank the board for spearheading that idea.
But just as quickly, yes. Just a reminder more than anything else, if the board chooses to do this again or something like it again, we need to make sure that it's posted and it needs to be open to, it's got to be a public meeting because when the board meets as a group, it does, yeah. I had a nice conversation with somebody at the New York State Committee on Local Government today.
They're the one that actually suggested.
What's that?
Okay. What's that retreat?
I'm just saying as a reminder for next time that, you know, we want to make sure that whenever there's a quorum of the board present discussing school business, it needs to be open to the public. And we can check some more with it. I can give you the name of the person as well.
Okay.
Okay, moving on Saturday, October 27th, we inducted four amazing alumni into the Distinguished Alumni Hall of Fame. We had Mr. Marshall Coy, who was a Broadway musician and composer. We had Captain Jerry Izzo, who is a Black Hawk pilot. We inducted Dr. Cheryl Taylor Lee, who is a doctor and professor of urology and oncology at Ohio State University, as well as Mr. Sheldon Saltzman, who was the COO and president of Uniroyal Tire Company. It was a lovely induction right before, it was after homecoming the prior Friday night. Syntax was here to document the event for those board members who attended. Mrs. Dellerba, Mr. Bensavenga, and Mr. Montalto, I want to thank you for helping us with that morning. And do you have any feedback from that day?
Just a lot of positive feedback from families that were there.
It was some slate.
Yeah.
It was a great slate.
It was great.
Yeah.
Great
slate.
Very impressive.
There was some work from last year. Great.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, the feedback was tremendous. I mean, really, the people who were in the doctors were really, I mean, the credentials were extraordinary. Their, you know, connection to Babylon was, you know, very special.
I also want to say thank you to Mrs. Consolo, who's here tonight. Mrs. Consolo was instrumental in planning a regional transitional fair that was held back on November 7th at the Deer Park High School. I know Babylon was well represented. I know Mr. Murphy had some work with what was going on that evening. Anyone else?
Mr. Vaccaro.
Mr. Vaccaro. It was excellent. Thank you. I hope we had a number of parents.
You did. It was very well attended by the Babylon.
Shoot up. Good. Excellent. Also, back in early November, we had a We Stand for Dyslexia Day, and that's where everybody on one day wore red in support of our little friends with dyslexia in an effort to show support and understanding of this condition. And it is a condition that can easily be overcome with the right specialist working with those students. So I want to thank also Mrs. Consolo and our building principals for spearheading that. It was a great little day, wasn't it? And all those kids were wearing red. It was so cute. And just nice to see that it's getting recognized. Okay. And that is all I have for this evening. I want to wish everyone a lovely Thanksgiving holiday.
Thank you.
Yes. And with that, we have Mr. D'Amico, who has put together a few slides to talk about Superintendent's Conference Day and the mindfulness training that he and his committee, along with Mrs. DeLerba, really spearheaded.
Thank you. So as Mrs. Rossi said, this really came out of our work with the curriculum committee. We were looking at a couple of topics to research as action topics, and we decided to settle with mindfulness training. Initially, we did a full day with Mission B as the organization. Corinne Winter heads that up. It's a nonprofit organization that works nationally to train teachers and students in mindfulness. They also provide a K-12 curriculum that all of our teachers receive. So this is a real basic definition of mindfulness. It's a basic human ability to be fully present, aware of where we are and what we are doing, and not overly reactive or overwhelmed by what's going on around us. And that definition probably means a few different things to all of us. I think the piece on being fully present is a part that's really open to discussion and what that means to each of us. It is something that's innate, although it can be cultivated through a few different practices like meditation, either seated, walking, or moving, short pauses, or even merging meditation practices with other activities like yoga or sports. These are some of the benefits of mindfulness. When we're mindful, we feel a reduced feeling of stress. Our performance is enhanced. I was talking to a couple of basketball coaches and asking them about mindfulness, if they thought it was something that was valuable. And I just did a quick search, and these were the names that came up about basketball players who meditate. It was Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and Michael Jordan. And the coach was Phil Jackson. And it's also obviously has very similar effects on academic performance. I've been evidenced in some schools around Long Island have been using mindfulness and are reporting some increases in assessment scores. There's also gained insight and awareness through observing our own mind, and it increases our attention to others' well-being. These are evidence-based results, although it's not what we should be focusing on. We really should just be focusing on finding time to practice mindfulness. So in the brain, what we find, and this is through 6 to 8 weeks of mindfulness practicing, through MRIs, what we see is an increase in gray matter in these areas of the brain that focus on higher order thinking, executive functioning, planning and problem solving, learning and memory, and a decrease in the part of our brain that really controls fight or flight pieces. So what you find from mindfulness is that you become more thoughtful, you're less reactive, less impulsive, and that you can really operate with higher order brains and skills. Pretty convincing research. So what does it look like in schools? It could just be as simple as some breathing exercises. These are four breathing exercises that we learned from Corinne when she was with us. It could be through simple movements that could be performed either in a seated or standing. It could be through visualizations led by teachers, or through quiet 1 to 2 minute practice. The common thread that's pulled through all of these strategies, these mindfulness practices, is a focus on breathing. So why might our students benefit from or perhaps even require mindfulness training? And I would just ask which one of these pictures you might be able to relate to. These aren't our students, by the way. We're at the moment. You know, so it would appear like from this slide and these pictures that I have a, you know, a grim picture of what school is like or what technology is about. And I think for any of you who know me know that that is not the case. I love technology. My children know that they can always get a yes from me if they ask for two things, a book or a piece of technology. I adore technology. Technology is a big part of my life. And I certainly am very passionate about my profession, about education. And I love the opportunities that we're providing our students. We've really been working it hard at providing our students with a myriad of opportunities to thrive and succeed. But I think we would be fooling ourselves if we also didn't admit that our children, our students, are growing up in a very different world than certainly I did and many of you did as well. And they're facing a lot different stresses, and we are as well too. You know, when we did this training, I went around to each of the buildings and spoke with teachers, and my comment to them was, this is as much for you as it is for our students. So we too are living in a different type of world with different type of stresses. And I really do believe that mindfulness is a tool that could benefit all of us. And I'll leave you with that quote. You can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf. I think it's kind of apropos for our community. And, you know, we can't change the world that our children are growing up in, and, you know, we don't want to. There might be elements of it that we would like to affect change in, but this is the world we're living in. We can't change that. But we can give them the tools to best succeed and thrive in. And I think mindfulness is one of those tools. This quote comes from John Kabat-Zinn, who wrote the book, Wherever You Go, There You Are. We met today, our curriculum committee met again today and talked about next steps for mindfulness. It's nothing that we want to move quickly on or mandate. It's not something that we feel works best from a viewpoint of compliance. But in each of our three buildings, there are examples of us trying it in some places and looking for other places where it might fit well. All right, so that's it. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much.
I have one question. So the mindfulness, that's something you practice as like an everyday concentrated effort. Like, I'm really mindful now and just breathing. Or is it, do you use like a breathing thing when we see kids being agitated or upset? Like, do you like...
It can be both. Yeah. It can be both, and there's actually schools who are building mindful rooms as forms of dealing with behaviors that students might be.
The thing
that's really I think neat about it is that there's many different ways of practicing, and anybody who has an iWatch or an Apple Watch knows that there's that 1 minute breathing piece, and it's not necessarily so that you need to practice mindfulness for 12 minutes every day using an app on your phone. It could just be a minute of breathing before you head in to take an exam. Or, you know, just 10 seconds of breathing before you decide to react to something that you've heard. That's why that slide where that speaks to our innate ability to practice mindfulness is, you know, so thoughtful. But the piece on, and I apologize, I made copies of the presentation, I will get it back to you. The piece on the effect it has on the brain, the actual effect on gray matter on the brain after 6 to 8 weeks of practicing it is, I mean, you just can't not look at that research and, you know, consider it.
And we'll talk about it from the adults, by the way.
Exactly.
But, the kids, but like the teachers.
Yes,
like
yes. Yeah, we talked that.
Yeah, was yoga brought up again? Was that an option in terms of, because I know, I mean, schools, including my own, we do yoga instead of, in place of, not PE, it is the PE, so I mean, that I know is another, that is, yeah,
still doing the yoga units.
They are?
Yeah.
I mean, as a section of the unit, is it like a unit within? Or?
It's a unit.
Yeah.
And again, that there's, you know, the thing that I've learned about yoga, right, and I think too about the mindfulness is that, you know, with yoga, 5 minutes every day is better than 40 minutes once a week. And I think the same thing with mindfulness, just a moment or two during the day where you just stop and breathe and focus on your breathing is, it really has a positive effect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well done. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so moving on to committee reports, the audit committee, Ms. Donaldson.
Good Good evening. So the audit committee met just a little while ago, and we reviewed the independent audit report for 17-18. Just a couple of the highlights. From our last management letter, we have four comments that have been corrected or in the process of being corrected. And we have two current year comments to work on for the upcoming year. And the report will be available on the district website.
Thank you. Thank you. Finance Committee, Mrs. Jors?
We have not met. We won't meet until January.
Okay. Just put that on the record. Buildings and Grounds, Mr. Benson Vega.
We met last month, and the big items that are pending are fencing that would run along Railroad Avenue. We've got a couple of proposals. Well, are these things actually bids, or are they just kind of prices that
they're going to just cost? Quotes. There are no quotes. Official bids yet.
Okay. Anyhow, so for those who were not at the meeting, there's some concern about the Railroad Avenue side of the property. The board met and discussed it at fair length and came up with what seems to be a very reasonable compromise that the fencing would be put up with gates, and the gates would be left open when the children are not in school. We work on the timing, the exact timing. That way, residents in the area can pass through, commuters can pass through, going to and from. It'll be open on the weekends for people to be able to navigate the village a little bit. But when the students are in class, we line them up. Two types of fencing we looked at. One was an aluminum, the other was a steel, a heavier grade. There's also discussion about putting it in, installing brick pillars, for lack of a better term, to hold the fencing and to be decorative and to do plantings with it. Linda, do you think we need to talk about this again? Do we have to come to another meeting to walk through, or, it feels like
well, I'd rather
decisions as to which way we want to go.
I think we need another meeting to discuss all this.
Yeah.
With Kevin Warren, Mr. Warren here, and Mr. Cievo.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. We can do it, in December. If we take December speaks, I have a meeting in January. So.
Yeah.
I'm open to your suggestions. So.
Okay. Good.
The other major thing we talked about was redoing the steps to roll wall on Railroad Avenue, including a handicap accessible ramp. Those of you familiar with the steps will know that we spent $26.6 million on a bond issue to make our schools look beautiful, and getting into one of the best parts of it is not so great. So we want to take a look at that, and that's probably going to have to be torn down and replaced. And we've got a bid for that as well, or we've got a proposal for that as well. So that would be part of the upcoming discussion. One thing, I noticed last week, on one of those days when it was kind of torrential rain, and we should ask Kevin and Tony about this, the way the water around the circle, and I know that the circle is comprised mostly of drains, which is why it still exists, it's going to cost us $1 million to take that out. But the amount of water that flowed along the curbing near the building was, you stepped out into a 4-inch puddle, which was substantial. So if we could check with Tony and Kevin, is there a grading issue there? Was it just volume that couldn't be handled? But it didn't seem like it was that heavy at that time to have that much water sitting there. So that's just something to think about. One other thing I do want to mention, it's not quite Buildings and Grounds, but it touches a little bit on something that occurred at one of the schools. And I want to say it earlier in the meeting before I fell asleep. I was at I attended the Veterans Day celebration over at the American Legion. And Mr. Ordino made it a point in his presentation to discuss the event at the elementary school, really at length, talking about how fantastic it was, and I know that the Legion guys are making inroads to talk to the high school kids and the grade school kids as well, so not quite buildings and grounds, but I want to be sure I didn't forget to say it. So that's it.
Yeah, all of our buildings did recognize the veterans on Veterans Day. They all did a great job. Thank you, everybody, for that's so important, right? So important, and we have so many veterans in our own community. So thank you, and thank your teachers and the kids who prepared nice assemblies for all of them.
Right, and just kind of put the fence was it wasn't just a board decision; it's really based on the security assessment. I just want to make sure that we did complete. So that's where the whole really kind of the idea generated from.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that it wasn't just us sitting around. But
I forgot.
That's okay. Do you just want to comment upon about the walkthrough?
Yes, sure. We are having, there's a date change. We're having a community bond walkthrough. So I want everyone to save the date. I know Syntax is really going to publicize this out between now and January 26th. But the same day as the Super Bowl for Caring, which is Saturday, January 26th, we'd like to have a Saturday morning, you know, into early afternoon, community walk through all three buildings during the daylight hours when everyone can see all the beautiful work that's been done with student tours, so on and so forth. That will be, again, Saturday, January 26th at 10 a.m. It will be publicized in the upcoming district newsletters as well as in the Babylon Beacon. We were going to hold it in late November, but the way it's shaking up, it's at nighttime. We don't have a lot of the help from the kids. They're busy with the holiday. We just want to do it the right way. And we're thinking a Saturday is a little nicer. We'll get a lot more community members out.
Okay. Great, thank you. Technology Committee, Mr. Montalvo?
We have nothing to report. We have a meeting on December 10th at 3 p.m.
Okay. Logically sound. Curriculum Committee, Mrs. Del Lerba.
So we just met today. We did continue our discussion of mindfulness. We also just started talking a little bit about the idea of mastery learning and how that could be something to be explored and how that might, you know, look in the different buildings and different subjects. So we will continue with that.
Great. Thank you. And Policy Committee, Mr. Bryan?
Yes, our next Policy Committee is on November 27th at 3:15, and we have three policies we need to look at. Parental involvement, sexual harassment, and the homelessness, education of our homeless.
Okay, great, thank you. Moving along, our board agenda items. Questions from visitors on agenda items. Please approach the podium and state your name. Again, on agenda items only at this point.
Good evening, Robert Strong. Could you explain the item number 16, basically number 2, how come we have to have those, that transfer, why wasn't that included in the budget?
These are all included in the budget. Basically what the business office is doing, they're
excuse me, the bottom number 2 says not included in the budget.
So
not included in the budget.
This transfer is necessary as a result of salary adjustments to different codes. Item 16, number 2?
At the bottom of
it. So it's not included in the book.
Hold on a second. Okay, yes. Okay, these items were not included in the budget. We had to add an additional kindergarten section. Some of these are longevity movements.
Oh, okay.
You know, yes. Okay. I'm sorry. Summer overtime, a dollar for social worker salary change.
Okay, that's okay.
But they're pretty self-explanatory.
You said when it wasn't included in the budget.
Yeah.
It seems they do a very good job with the budget here. It seems like.
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. And items number 17, 18, and 19.
Those are all profits to the district.
Yeah, we're going to use that maybe to fix the steps at Rebel.
We're still coming in right under, if not on budget, as we close out this bond. We're hoping we're going to be right under with these deducts coming through. Our construction management team and our architect is still finalizing those last numbers coming in. As you can see, we're still getting credits even to this late date.
So what are we doing with the credits?
Well, the credits then balance the costs, and then we'll come down to a final budget where we ended the bond. But I'm anticipating that we're coming under, and then we come under, and that's a very good question. What do we want to do with that? And that will be up for the buildings and grounds and the board then to decide where that goes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from visitors on agenda items? Any board discussion on agenda items?
Just a quick thing.
Okay.
I have no respect for the clerical nursing network assistance technicians, but I will not be supporting item number one. And because it's not a public act until that we approve it, I can't tell why. So, anyhow, I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Okay. So we're going to have to pull this out at this point, or is it pulling it?
Yeah,
okay. Well, may I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 22, actually. Okay, so we have Mrs. Delorva, seconded by Mr. Montalto. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor to omnibus items 1 through 22? Okay, against? Donnie, against?
I'm not against omnibusing. Well, I guess I'm up.
Yeah.
Because I'm against omnibusing because I'd like to support everything but number one. So can we just omnibus 2, 3?
I know, but we made a motion. So the motion was in favor to omnibus. And it's passing 6-1.
Correct.
Yes, it's passing 6-1. So let me just repeat again. They have all in favor. Do I have a motion to approve item? Well, let's do the omnibus again.
Can
so
we amend the motion? If we can.
I can pass with 6-1. So here, may I have a motion again just to omnibus items 1 through 22. So that was Mrs. Delorva, seconded by Mr. Montalto. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 22?
Okay. So I'm not being given the opportunity to approve everything but one.
Well, you didn't pull it.
Well, I said I was not supporting it. I mean.
Well, then why? Let me just make a motion.
I'd like to amend the motion to omnibus 2 through whatever last one is.
I second his motion to amend the omnibus. So, can we make a motion? Okay, may I have a motion? Ms. Pesci, can we just make sure this is correct before moving forward?
What's the protocol?
You can now, you approved the omnibus, but now you want to amend the omnibus motion. So, you can amend it
by
now. Right, by another vote. To amend
so
it to.
Ms. Smacka has to make a motion to amend it officially, or?
Yes.
And then it has to be.
Because you approved it, but now you're amending it. It's an omnibus because you didn't move all the items in the next motion.
So, Ms. Smacka, are you officially making a motion?
I'm making a motion to amend the previous motion to omnibus items 2 through 22.
Does anybody second that?
So what do we need to do?
We need to, someone needs to
now you need to
I'll
vote to amend
that.
The motion, the original motion.
Okay, I'll second that motion.
Okay. So I'm just going to approve
all
items.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Okay, all in favor?
Which is one person?
Going to have it, you know, just to alert people ahead of time, just so we have an idea of how to prepare as such.
Okay, well, then let the original motion stand. I'll just vote no, and if you will,
okay.
We'll be done.
Okay. So I'm going back. Okay.
Yeah, I just know that.
To approve or Tom?
No, to approve.
Okay. Okay, here I go. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 22? Okay, we have Mrs. Dewar, seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor to approve items 1 through 22? Against? Okay, passes 6-1. Okay. Okay, moving on to other business. Mrs. Rossi, do you have any other business?
Just one other item. I just want to remind the board members who are attending next Thursday night, November 29th, the Wilson Tech Annual BOCES Dinner, which will be held at the Wilson Technological Center. It begins at 7 p.m. in Dix Hills. We did confirm attendance, so that's always a really nice night. We get to enjoy the kids who are in the technological programs at Wilson Tech. It's terrific.
Great, thanks. Okay, representatives of organizations. Anybody here from different organizations? Please approach the podium and state your name. Okay, moving on to agenda item 12, questions or comments from visitors. Please approach the podium and state your name.
Good evening, Robert Strokes. I just want to make it clear, I'm not in favor of the Saturday walkthrough, okay? I basically would like to have a walkthrough available for people who work Saturdays and have other things to do Saturday. That's why I suggested that we do it on a board night. Many years ago, we used to have board meetings at every building during the school year. So I don't think it's impossible that I don't want a nail by nail tour. I just want an overview. I could basically see what we have to do. I'm not only speaking for myself, by the way, not speaking for anybody else. I want to basically see about what was done. Okay, I don't want to, personally, I don't want to turn it into a circus. And that's what it sounds like to me. I think if you want to have if we have a building by building walkthrough, we can schedule a meeting at each building. And those of us who want to go walkthrough can take a walkthrough. Saturday doesn't work for me. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from visitors? Please approach the podium and state your name.
I apologize for keeping everybody late. I'll start my time. Hi, I'm Jeannie O'Halloran. I have three children in the high school, seventh grade, ninth grade, and 11th grade. I'm here very simply. I know I have already emailed many of you regarding the transportation, and I know it's been done here forever. I've been at Half Hollow Mills for 12 years. I've been teaching and speaking for 25 years. I've been here for 5. I don't think it is normal protocol for my 12-year-old to walk 1.3 miles, especially in that weather from last week, to go to volleyball practice in the elementary school. I'm not here to say I have an answer. I don't. I just don't. It doesn't sit well with me. I'm teaching till 3:05. I can't, and as nobody can want me to, pick up my phone to see my daughter made it safely to the school, nor is there anybody there to tell me she made it safely. So, obviously, I found rides for her, thank God, because most people are working and not there to drive her. And I know it's been done for 20 years, but lots of things have been done for 20, 30 years, and I think it's time for a change. I've been going to the precinct meetings on what's been going on in the area, and I'm very worried. I don't know if anybody else has gone and sat through it and spoke to the officers there, and they're not happy with what's going on around the railroad station, and I'm barely home to see it. Anybody here take the train early in the morning and see it. What's going on at the train station at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning? I would not even walk through there by myself. I wouldn't feel comfortable. And I'm seeing that same element as well as just scary situations that I'm seeing. I hate to say it, but I call 911 quite often lately because I'm seeing people without shirts on fighting in front of South Pizzeria at 5 o'clock in the afternoon while there's kids walking by and bicyclists. So I'm getting more and more nervous being here, I hate to say it, over the years, because I think maybe I'm just opening up my eyes more and seeing what's going on. So I know that there's postings, I know there's people, and I get it. I get it. I'm not,
I know.
You're doing what you can, and I get it. But my daughter's 12, and she's little, she's teeny, and there are she has a ride, but there are other girls that are walking with like 2 girls, and it's not my responsibility, I don't think, to check on her to get there, because I think legally she's under your control at that point, because she's in an extracurricular activity. I'm not sure legality wise. And also, if I was coaching that team, there's no way as a coach that I want to worry about seeing who's there and doing a head count, because I know that's not, the girls are going to go home one day and not even know they left school that day. It's an impossible thing. I'm not saying I have an answer, but I'm asking you to please open your minds, be mindful of the fact that I as a parent and many others, not just me, I'm the only one who has the guts to come out here tonight, I guess. to say that we're not happy, we're worried about them. And it's not just for my 12-year-old daughter. This is going to be coming up the pike, and if God forbid something's going to be happening, something happens to one of them. The other day with that snow, I mean, people get in car accidents going 10 miles an hour. What if one of the girls got hit going down there? So forget about just the people that are walking around that I'm not happy with seeing down that stretch, walking by the soccer practice by the grade school at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't think it should be anybody's responsibility to make sure they get there. I would feel better knowing, and I know it's expensive, what, 40 grand more a year for an extra bus, but maybe there's some way to figure it out. Maybe we can tandem buses around or something. I don't know, I'm open to help and talk about it with someone, but I just don't think it's the best answer.
I really want to thank you for coming tonight, because you're quite lovely, and I know we've been back and forth. Our hands, yes, are a little tight, but I want you to know also that it's always on our mind, too, and we're still not giving up on what we can do.
Okay, great.
I don't know if we can provide a bus, but we're working through some other questions, which I can't share with you now, but you have to give us a little more time to
see what
we're allowed to do, what contractually we can ask people to do, you know, all this and that.
Spring and the fall, I don't have as much of a problem because they're only going to the grade school. There are more people along the way, and the weather is better.
Right.
So they're not walking in the sleet and snow.
Right.
You know, and I don't know.
Yeah.
And my daughter, if anybody here from the music department, she never brings home her instrument because she's like, I can't carry it.
Yeah.
So she's not that matters to everybody, but she should be bringing home her instrument.
Yeah.
And
she
doesn't ever.
We definitely hear you, and it's still on my list of things, you know, that I'm trying to really nail down if we can.
Well, I appreciate it. I just wanted to say it, and I'll just keep coming back and annoying you if I don't hear from you or anything. But and it's not to place blame on anyone, because I know that it's a very difficult thing. But sometimes things have to change. Babylon, you know, is Babylon and everything. But, you know, I don't know anywhere else where it happens. And I think because we're okay with it, I am okay with my kids walking home. But at one point, I did the little Google, like, walking from the high school. It's 1.3 miles. It's 14
do your
minutes.
Children walk home from school?
But they're older, and they're boys, and they used to get picked up when they were younger, if they can get a
ride. What about your daughter?
I only have one person to help me with rides.
Okay. Does your daughter always have a ride home from school?
Well, my husband's with the game ride every single day.
Oh, okay.
And now she's there. I actually am happy when there's sports. If it's a bad day, I'll say you have to stay somewhere. I'll come get you, or I'll get someone to get you. But it's hard. It's difficult, because she's only 12.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds pathetic, and I'm not an easy mom where wipe their behinds for them. I'm really not. I am. We'll figure it out. Get it done, you know? But I'm just doesn't lay right with me. The whole distance and what I see when I've seen going down there, why I call police is because I'm seeing a drug deal happening in the parking lot. The same people that I see all the time, I can tell you where they live in the area. Like, I know where they go, and I'm not even around a lot. So if you live here and you're driving around, you're seeing it on a regular basis. I can name different people. I don't know who they are, but I know what they look like, and everybody knows who they are based on what they look like.
I know that the village has been as proactive as they can be.
Yes,
they've worked with us, you know. If it's at the train station,
and
that comes under police have been great.
Yep.
It comes under MTA.
Yes.
Right.
But not by the school.
What's that?
Not by the schools.
No, they're not by the schools, but
I'm seeing them walking past the grade school down north.
Yeah.
I say down, but up north.
Yeah.
And I see the same people. They must live all the way down there. And, I'm just not happy with that. So I had a call the other day because there were three people hanging out on the, on the tennis courts.
When I had a recent meeting with the village and the police and the MTA back about a couple of weeks ago, the idea isn't even to call the village, because the village cannot arrest.
No.
I don't know if you know that. It has to be the police department. So, you know, parents think they can just call the village. Don't tell them to call the village.
Are you aware? I don't know if anybody's aware, but we learned this. There's only two MTA
between now and Jamaica.
Cars.
Correct.
Jamaica.
In all of Suffolk County.
Correct.
So MTA is not really helpful right now. They don't have the funding for it. So
right. And that's where the problem lies, at least in the train station, I guess.
Yes.
But the village has been as responsive.
The has been covering the train station tremendously a lot. And I have seen a presence, because I think we're all complaining.
We're all complaining.
And I like it, so I'm complaining to you.
And I'm sending my security guards off campus.
because they can't really.
But no, but
yeah,
just the eyes. Just to have eyes, you
know,
and those security guards are supposed to be on campus. But you know, and with us doing that along with the village, we're doing what we can, and our police department has been great because they're perched also in, they're in non-uniform.
No, I'm very aware because I've been going to those meetings and I've been asked a lot of questions, so I'm very grateful for everything that has been happening. But there are, and my daughter is not one of them right now. I have someone, there's one person who can take them. The one person who doesn't work is taking some, as many girls as they can fit in the car, taking them to volleyball, we're all home to pick up.
Yeah.
But but I'm telling you now, there are girls that are just walking late or by themselves. And that I'm not talking just for mine.
No, I know.
I'm speaking for the future because God forbid something was happening, we'd all be going, all because we didn't do something faster, you know, type thing. And I don't want that to be anybody's backs. So I'm going to keep saying something because I don't want that to be on my back either. I obviously don't want my child to be involved in it. So I'll stop talking.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from visitors? Seeing no further questions, future board meetings. We are our next regular business meeting will be Monday, December 10th. It'll be 7:30 here in the library. After that, we'll be into January 14th, again, regular business meeting here in the library, and then a work study then on Monday, January 28th, here in the library at 7:30. May I have a motion to adjourn? This is George, seconded by Ms. O'Brien. All in favor? Okay. Passes 7-0. Have a happy Thanksgiving.